Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
So, you guys ready? Come on, give Dawn a big hand this morning. Hallelujah, church. I am so excited, okay? I'm so excited to bring the word this morning. I want to thank Pastor Bob for allowing me to come and share this morning. But listen, church, I have been love struck, okay? I have been love struck. You see, the God of heaven, the God of all creation, he knows my name. He knows me. He loves me. He forgives me. He fills me up. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of love and flows into my life. And it flows into your life, church. He flows into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm gonna read a verse here. It's 1 Peter 1:3. It's out of the Message Bible. I'm just going to read the first part of it. And I read this, it was a few weeks ago. But I liked it so much, I wanted to include it this morning. It says, what a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. I want to focus on the word fortunate. The word fortunate is actually derived from the word fortune, also meaning treasure. Okay? What a treasure we have in knowing God. What a treasure we have. Isaiah 45, verse 3, and I'm going to have him throw that up there on the screens this morning. It's kind of the heart of my message. And it says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. This morning, the title of my message is called Treasure Hunters. You see, when I was a boy, I remember going to the grocery store with my mother, okay? And one of the items that she would buy was cold cereal. But she wouldn't just buy cereal by one or two boxes. My mom, she would buy cereal by the caseload, okay? By the caseload. You see, there were three of us. Three boys, all about the same age, and we were hungry, okay? We were hungry. And so cereal was a big deal. And it was a big deal to my mom, too, okay? Because that meant mom didn't have to get up and cook 12 pounds of bacon for three hungry boys, okay? And moms, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. But even more important than 24 boxes of cold cereal were the 24 prizes inside the boxes. Right? Right, let me see a show of hands of those of you who have ever purchased a box of cereal based on the prize inside the box. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So we would choose the cereal based on the prize in the box. And that was really the only thing that mattered to us, okay? And fortunately, you guys, fortunately, the best prizes came in cereals just like this one, right? Like the holy grail of all cold cereals, right? Who doesn't like Lucky Charms? And listen, if you're fortunate enough to have somebody in your life who doesn't care about your health, okay, it's a win-win. Marshmallows and a prize, right? Come on. It's a win-win. Now, I know that there are some of you here today who are a little more self-conscious. Self-conscious. Actually, what I meant to say was health conscious. You're a little more health conscious, okay? In my day and age, we weren't so health conscious. We just ate whatever came, okay? But listen, listen, look. Out of the 157 different ingredients in this box, one of them is oats, so it's okay, all right? It's okay. Moms, dads, it's okay. Hallelujah. Yeah. So listen, Mom and I, we would come home from the store, and because I went with my mother, I knew what was for breakfast the next morning. And I was determined to be the first one out of bed because we were only allowed one box of cereal a day. One box of cereal a day. You can say, I was abused as a child, you guys. One box of cereal a day? That's ridiculous. But I've moved past that. Actually, the reason, since we only got one box of cereal, you guys, okay, what does that mean? Yeah, that means the first one out of bed gets the prize, doesn't it? Yeah. So listen, I would sneak downstairs, okay, early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, because I didn't want anybody else to get my prize. So I'm sneaking. This is how I sneak. Okay. I'm sneaking. I don't want the other two boys to hear because that prize is mine, baby. And so I'm sneaking. Listen, there are only two reasons why young boys and some men get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. All right? One of them is the hope of a present or a prize. The other one is for cartoons. Okay? This morning, I'm talking about the prize here. So I'm sneaking. And I make my way over to the table, to the counter. I didn't have an iPod back then. And I grab myself a bowl. Listen, all young boys have their favorite cereal bowl, right? The one you always gravitate to, the one you always go to, because, yeah, I still have my favorite cereal bowl, you guys, okay? And here it is. Okay? I grab my lucky spoon, okay? And I pour myself a bowl of cereal. I'm going to put the microphone down. Excellent. Don't judge me. I didn't really eat out of a bowl this big, you guys. This was simply the easiest way to find the prize. Okay, now I know that there are some of you that don't really practice proper cereal etiquette. And you would simply grab the box and cram your hand in there and start grinding away, right? Turning the cereal into dust and totally destroying the box. You know who you are. And that's not okay. This was simply the most convenient way to get to the prize. And listen, it made eating the marshmallows a whole lot easier before you poured the cereal back into the box, right? So, you know, when your brothers get up the next morning and go, you know what? I've noticed something. They just don't put as many marshmallows in the box as they used to, right? Yeah. Anybody else ever eat the marshmallows out without anybody knowing? Yeah. It's a prerequisite when you have a box of Lucky Charms. Now, church, my point is this. My point is this. The marshmallows are great, all right? But what I want, the real treasure inside that box, is the prize. Is the prize. Now listen, I know that I haven't really shared anything too spiritual up to this point. But you can say amen anyway. Hallelujah. You know what? That helps me make my move into the spiritual church. So here we go. This morning, what I want to talk to you about are the treasures found inside of this book. Okay? The treasures found inside of this book. Treasures that are just waiting to be discovered. Saying that you have a Bible isn't what makes us spiritual, is it? No. You see, you can have a Bible sitting on a nightstand somewhere or tucked away in a drawer. But unless you open it up and start digging, it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do you any good. There are literally, church, thousands upon thousands of promises in this book. And we cannot be content simply knowing that they're there. If you want this book to become alive and relational, then you need to open it up. You need to read it. You need to meditate on it. You need to consume it so God can give you what you need when you need it. You see, there is a treasure that will answer every question, heal every hurt, fulfill every dream. But you have to read it so God can bring revelation, life, and light. The Bible is a supernatural book. And the answers come when you make yourself available to the power of the living word. First, you have to know that it has value, and then you have to go after it. Hallelujah. Now, that's something spiritual. You can say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12 says this, church. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Psalms 119, 105 says this, for your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Just simply knowing there are treasures in that book isn't going to cut it. You have to go treasure hunting. There is a treasure waiting here for you every time you read it. There is a treasure to be found when reading God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good, huh? church, when I first got saved, I wasn't eating Cracker Jacks, but when I first got saved, when I asked Jesus to come and be Lord of my life, it was if I had won the lottery. And everything was new, and everything became a treasure to me. You see, God opened up my eyes, and everything he created took on greater value. Even what I considered normal and everyday became a treasure to me. You see, I no longer looked up at the stars the same way, church. I no longer did it. Now when I look up at the stars, I know who placed them there. I no longer look at a tree the same way. Because I know who planted that tree. I know who waters that tree. And I know who causes it to grow. And how about the creation of life? Childbirth, you guys. You see, it's not the end result of millions of years of evolution, first starting with pond scum. It is a miraculous event, you guys, that was meant to be treasured. I don't care what those pro-choice people say. Ooh, he's getting political now. You see, when you become a believer, you see the world in a completely different way. How it was meant to be seen in the first place. A treasure. A treasure. And how about the Word of God? What a treasure we have in the Word of God. Church, I love my Bible. Look at it. It's a mess. I've had it for a long time. When I first asked Jesus into my life, I recognized what a treasure I had in his Word. I couldn't put his book down, you guys. I took it to the table with me, the dinner table. Okay? I took it on errands. Everywhere I went, my Bible was with me. I took it to bed with me, and I would tuck my Bible under my arm because I knew when I woke up, it would be right there. It'd be right there. Listen, I even took it to the bathroom with me. Hey, it's not sacrilegious to read the Word of God while sitting on the throne. Come on. Any opportunity to read the Word of God is a good opportunity. Hallelujah. You need to take it. You need to take it. I can eat anymore. Why do kids eat this stuff? Anybody? Anybody? It's nasty. It's nasty. I don't remember it being so nasty when I was a kid. Ugh. But it's nasty. Look at. This will tell you something. See this box right here? This box hasn't changed in over 30 years. Okay? What they simply just pour the popcorn in the box. And thank God there is at least a Stay Fresh pouch in there. Back when I was a kid, you wouldn't see that. It was just a cardboard box. You know why kids wanted Cracker Jack? There's a prize inside the box. I remember how excited I was when somebody would say, "You got some Cracker Jacks." Right? I would do everything I could to get my hand on the Cracker Jacks because I knew waiting in this box was a prize for me. I was excited. I was a kid. I was excited. Okay? And listen, that was back in the day when prizes were pretty cool in there, right? You used to have these cute little games. You get tattoos, right? Sticker books, and they were just awesome. But listen, today, the prizes aren't really any better than the popcorn. Check it out, guys. Look. Oh, it's not even wrapped. That's stupid. Okay? That's ridiculous. I wouldn't give that to anybody. What's up with that? Actually, Luell, here you go. Knock yourself, and you can have that junk too. My point is this, you guys. When I was going to get a box of Cracker Jacks, I was so excited about it. Cracker Jacks are coming. Cracker Jacks are coming. I wanted that prize. Listen, we need to get excited about what's in this book all over again, church. We need to get excited about it. And you do that by reading it and going back to what made you so excited about knowing him in the first place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, there is a treasure to be found in knowing Jesus. What a treasure we have in knowing him. But listen, church, I'm not a young boy anymore, okay? I've been a believer now for over 30 years. And I'm far past my salvation experience. And so, after you've been a believer for a while, and I think us who have all been a believer for a while, something happens. You start down that mountain, right? And all of a sudden, you walk into real life again. You see, life happens, and it's not always rosy, even as a believer. Yeah. You experience pain, difficulties, disappointments, hardships, sadness, suffering, loss. It's all part of life. But church, if you know where to dig, if you know where to dig, there are treasures to be found even in our suffering, even in our difficulties, our struggles. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. It sounds to me like there is a treasure just waiting to be discovered even in our suffering. You see, you don't have to run from your struggles. You don't have to hide from your struggles. Run from your suffering. Run to Jesus. Run to where the treasures are at. Maybe you don't feel like digging. And sure, there you can wait for someone to do the digging for you, but there is something about personal discovery. This is where the maturity of the believer takes flight, church. You see, God wants us to go after him for ourselves because that's when it becomes personal. That's when it becomes relational. Church, it's taken me many years to learn this, and I still don't always get it right. You see, I've had my share of disappointments, like all of us. I've had my struggles. I've hurt those that I love the most at times. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've done things I shouldn't have done. But now I know where to go. I know where to go. You see, we were created to be treasure hunters, to go after it, to go after God. It was sin that robbed us from our inheritance, of our joy, of our hope. But thanks be to God that He made us a map that leads us straight to the treasure. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. John 1:14 says this, church. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." You see, church, this book is alive. It is alive. And Jesus is the Word become flesh. That's what I get for taking all the cereal out of the box. And one glorious, fabulous, amazing day, God began digging through the muck and the mire, through the sin and through the suffering, through the death and resurrection of His one and only Son, and He reached in. And He pulled out a prize. And He calls that prize you. And He calls that prize me. You see, God pursues you, church. He chastens you. He does everything He can to get your attention. And when you finally stop and cry out His name, He says, "There you are. I found my prize. I found my prize." And all of heaven and all of creation rejoices because what was lost has now been found. You see, God is a treasure hunter too. And He calls you His most treasured possession. Yeah. If I could have the team, please come on up. You see, church, God gets excited. Listen to me. God gets excited about who is in this box. Yeah. And there is great value in knowing God and being known by Him. But you have to make yourself available to His Word. But church, I promise you this. When you do, you will be love struck. You will be love struck. You know what's amazing about His Word, folks? Is when you start digging. When you start digging around to find some new treasure about God, what you end up discovering is how much He treasures you. Hallelujah. What a treasure. What a treasure it is to know God. What a God we serve. And how fortunate we are to have Him. You see, the way to reach a city with the message of hope, church, is by allowing the goodness of God, by allowing the blessings of God to flow into you so that you flow into somebody else. That's another win-win, church. That's another win-win. So, church, I have a question this morning. If it's been a while, if it's been a while that you've felt that excitement or that hunger for more of God, then this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that every time you pick this book up, that you find a treasure that lifts your soul, that blesses you, that encourages you. That wipes you out because the love of God strikes you down. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you're ready to go treasure hunting, if you're ready to find some new thing about God that just blows you away and you can't get enough of Him, so you carry this book around wherever you go, you can't put it down. You take it to the table, you take it to your bedroom, you take it to the bathroom. I don't care where you go, but you can't put this book down because you're in love with Jesus. So this morning I invite you to come forward, church. Everybody who is sitting down should be up front, because we can never get enough of His word. We can never get enough of Jesus. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but we serve a good dad. And He is full of riches. He is full of goodness. And all He wants to do is bless your heart. All He wants to do is fill you up.